We've been talking about how God fills the void within us so that we can feel His presence all the time, every day. In fact, we started out in Genesis 1, 1 through 3, and when we get to Revelation, maybe this series will be over. We're not there yet. We're still in the New Testament, first part of it. But you know, I just love going back to Genesis 1, 1 through 3. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Oh, man. "And the earth was without form and void," and that's where we're getting the whole basis for our series, "and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God filled the initial void of nothingness with light. His first spoken words were, "Let there be light." And you want to know something? When you come to Jesus Christ, the first spoken words over you, God is saying, once we receive Christ, once we say, "I want to have Jesus as my personal Savior, I want my sins forgiven, I want to walk in that freedom," God looks down at us and He says, "Let there be light." And that light starts to illuminate within us, deep within us. Our spirit is dead and dark before that time, and God lights up our spirit with the light of Jesus. And He starts filling the voids. We talked about how that light lights up our awareness of what we need, and we realize that we need knowledge, and we come to the knowledge of who God is, what He does, and how He does it. And then God fills the void, not just with knowledge, but with wisdom on how to use that knowledge. And man, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but every day I'm like, "Oh Lord, give me wisdom on what to do, what to say, how to act, how to treat other people." And we talked about that wisdom. Last week, we started to uncover how God wants to fill us with hope. And I want us to go to Romans 15, 13 again, because we're not done with that scripture. Isn't it easy, amazing, how you can take one scripture and God can just roll it over and over and over in your spirit, and He can make it come more and more and more and more alive. Romans 15, 13, it says, "May the God of hope," that's our God. Our God's the God of hope. Our God is not the God that you will someday be a cow and people will stop for you in traffic. Our God is not the God that you have to do this and this and this and this and this and this. Our God is the God of hope. He says, "If you come to me in faith through Christ Jesus, I will give you hope." And listen to what He says. It says that He will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. How can people not get that? You know, I'm sorry, but I didn't get it for a long time. I mean, I attended church for a long time before I got it. You know, of course, I was attending church because I was being drugged to church. There were literally grooves in the ground from our house to the church that we went to because, you know, they just kind of had to drag me in there, you know, And when I finally realized that Jesus Christ died for my sins and there's hope, it changed everything. And I couldn't get enough of the Bible. I couldn't get enough of Jesus, and it's still that way today. I hope that the last breath I take, I hope that God says, "Okay, you're going to see all of Revelation here just shortly, Jim, but I got one more thing for you before you leave this earth. And I hope that I have breath to share it with somebody." I really do. Because we all are eternal beings, and where we spend eternity is made upon our choices. And I want people to make the right choice. That choice is Jesus. So once again, we look at this chapter and we find out that trust is the key factor in being filled with the attitude, the character, and the power of God. We have trust issues. I got a couple of, Yeah, we have trust issues. And you know why? It's because the world and the people around us, they let us down. And sometimes we look at that and we think, well, I don't know, can I trust God? You can trust Him. You can trust Him. It says that He is the God of hope. And if you trust God, He will fill you, and He will fill you with wonderful things. Now, if you don't trust God, okay, it's just the opposite. And in fact, if you're not filled with the things of God, you're probably not trusting Him. You know, I always said to people, I said, you know, you can come to an intellectual understanding of God, But if you don't step into that relationship, that intellectual understanding of God is like the crust of a pie. You can live on it, but it's crusty. And the relationship is the filling. That's what God fills you with. Now, I don't know what kind of pie you like. I, on certain occasions, have a hard time figuring out what kind of filling I want. And the wonderful thing about God is, you know, He can fill you with hope. You know, I'm not so sure that hope is an apple pie. And He can fill you with joy. I'm pretty sure that joy is pecan pie. And He can fill you with peace. And everybody knows that peace is pumpkin pie, right? Coming up. But God can fill you with all kinds of different things. And we need to go past the intellectual. If you trust God, He will fill you. And you will overflow with the hope that comes from being all filled. You're all filled. You're all alive. You're not mostly filled, okay? Kelsey's waiting for it. Princess Bride, you're not mostly dead, right? You are all filled with the hope, okay? You're all filled, all filled. And when I read that, I went, all filled with what? What are we all filled with? Joy and peace. All filled. Now, I tell you what, I struggle sometimes. We all struggle, right? To keep that joy going on. But you want to know something? If you trust in God, He will fill you. He will fill you with that joy. He will do it. If you trust in Him, when things get really, really tough, it may not change, but you'll see something or hear something, or the Holy Spirit will whisper to you in a certain way, and that joy will come back. And that joy is like an ember. It's not like a flash in the pan. It's like an ember that burns hot and slow and all the time deep within your spirit. He will fill you with joy and peace. So I want to look at the experience of what that joy and peace does to us. And this morning we're going to just look at joy, okay? And next week we'll look at peace. But you see, if we look at joy as an emotion, we miss it. We really miss the majority of what it's all about. Joy is an emotion. How many of you have felt the emotion joy? Yeah, ooh, ha! You know, we feel the emotion of joy, right? Yeah, oh, it's Friday, right? And we've felt that. Ah, the wind quit blowing. You know, yes, you wake up and it's a beautiful day. And it spurs something within you. But what is really within you with the joy of God, okay? I want to look at what it means to have that and how to have it. We have to go to John 15. In chapter 5, Jesus says this, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, the vine is the life. Jesus, the roots of Christ, his being is in Father God. It's in He is God. He's that vine of life. Now, I like roses and I like grapevines because I like to trim them and I like them to produce fruit. And every once in a while somebody will ask me to come and help them, and when I show up and I cut their rose to the ground, they about freak out. But I say this, the fruit is in the vine and the root. Our grapevine right now, it's dormant. And I will go back there and I will cut it all back. And next year's fruit is in the vine. You see, our fruit is in the vine. And what is that fruit? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. One of those fruits is joy. And that joy is in the vine. And if we abide in Christ, He says, if you abide in me, if you remain in me, you know, and it's not just, well, just hang out, but you remain in God. No matter where you go, you're taking that presence, that life, that fruit with you. God says, if you remain in me, Jesus says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I'm not going to cover John 15, 6 through 10, because as you know, I'm a preacher teacher. And so that's going to be your assignment this week, is to read John 15, 6 through 10. We'll talk about that a little bit. But I want to cover a few things that are in there. First of all, okay, Jesus tells us how we can abide in Him. in this scripture. Okay, 15, 6 through 10. First of all, he says we are to remain in him. And then he tells us what happens if we don't. God always, he always, you know, kind of says, okay, you should do this, but if you don't, it ain't going to be pretty. And then secondly, he says that his words are to remain in us. Now, the way for his word to remain in us is for us to read that word and to study that word and to meditate on that word. And that's why, as the preacher teacher, I say, this week, read this word and let his words remain in you. Get a hold of them. When we were studying in an in-state class, Institute of Theology by Extension, they have you read the book of Philippians 13 times in 1 week. I think I have a pretty good grasp of Philippians now. Okay? And I just encourage you to put that word in you. And then not only are we to put the word in there, but we are to keep the Father's commandments, he tells us in this scripture. And then we are to do something that's so amazing. We're supposed to go beyond rules into relationship, because he says, remain in my love. Remain in my love. Sometimes we think we're not in the Father's love, and God says, I will always love you. I will always be there. I will never forsake you. And sometimes, you know, when we're not being very nice or we're not following God very close, we think, well, his love's not there. His love is always there. And God says, I want you to remind yourself every day, my love is there. And when we do that, guess what? We can love him back. When you know somebody loves you beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's really a lot easier to love them back, isn't it? And that's why God loves us so much. And that's why God wants us to remain in his love. So when we do this, when we do these things, and like I said, I want you to look at these things this week. And when we do this, John 15, 11 comes alive, and it brings us right back to what we're talking about, and that's joy. John 15, 11 says, I have told you this. Jesus says, I have told you these things in these verses. I have told you this, okay, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Whoa, two things here. The perfect joy of Christ in us. Are we perfect? We're a work in progress, aren't we? It says that we are perfected in Christ. It says that once we come to Christ, our sins are washed away. It says that we are redeemed, we are saved, we are there, okay? But we're also a work in progress. And sometimes we don't always feel complete, do we? But he says, my joy will be in you so that your joy can be complete. Now, I want the joy of God in me, because my joy is not enough. My joy is not enough. Because my joy is kind of dependent on one of two things: circumstances in the world or God's joy. Now, if my joy is dependent on the world, we're in trouble. I'm in trouble. You're in trouble. But if my joy is dependent on his joy being in me, that's a totally different ballgame. That is a fountain that never runs dry. That is, in fact, this past week in a Revelation study, we're talking about the river of life and what it looks like in heaven. Well, the river of life is flowing through us. It's Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Holy Spirit right now. We'll get to see it manifested in the physical on the other side of this world. But you want to know something? His joy is manifested in us if we abide in him, if we remain in him, if we keep his commandments, and if we remain in his love. If we let him love us and we love him back, then verse 11 comes true. He said, I've told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You know, a lot of times we talk about a word and we don't break it down. I like to break words down. So I did a word study on joy, and there's a lot there. And I thought you guys would probably want to go home before tomorrow morning. So I'm going to give you the good stuff. The Cliff Notes on the word of joy. Here's the Cliff's Notes. Joy is a confident abiding in the vine. Joy is a confident abiding in Jesus Christ. Joy is confidence that Jesus is there and we can abide in him, okay? And that's laid out in these verses, okay? Joy is knowing this, that all of our life depends on us abiding in the vine. Are you getting, there's kind of a, you know, kind of a theme to this? Joy is knowing, not only is it the confidence, okay, that we can, but it's knowing that all of our life depends upon the vine. When I cut, when I prune my roses, or I prune our grapevine, when I prune that, those branches die. You know, they go bye-bye. But the life is in the vine. The life is in the vine. Joy is also this. Not only is it living today, not only is it abiding, not only is it having confidence in Jesus, but joy is also the future expectation that everything is going to be okay as we draw life from the vine. Okay? I've told this to a lot of you. When I was younger, in fact, until I was in my 20s, I probably should have went in and had it diagnosed, but I had clinical anxiety. I mean, to the point where I missed a lot of days of high school because I had to go home. And I got saved when I was 14, and my pastor knew this, and he said, well, you need to go to Philippians 6. You know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer, petition, okay? Present your petitions to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm talking about this peace. Next week, we're going to talk about that peace. Right now, we're talking about the joy. And the joy is the future expectation. It's knowing, having peace in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. Having peace that it's going to be okay as long as I draw life from the vine. No matter what our circumstances may be, no matter what our future may look like. In fact, Scripture says that Jesus Christ endured the cross. It's in Hebrews, I believe. I can't give you the scripture, but it's in Hebrews. Jesus endured the cross, okay, for the joy that was set before him, the future that was set before him. He could endure it because he had that kind of expectation, that kind of hope, that he could go through anything because he knew that he was doing the Father's plan. He knew that he was where he needed to be. And that's the expectation, that it's okay as long as I'm in the life of the vine. No matter what our circumstances are, God is there for us. The vine is there giving us life. Jesus is giving us that life. So this week, in your quiet time with God, I want you to read John 15. You can read the whole chapter, but especially 5 through 11. Okay? Especially. Okay? And I want you to ask God this question. How am I doing living in your joy? How am I doing living in the joy that you give? You know, sometimes we go to God and we're kind of ambiguous. I do it a lot. Oh, God, I need joy. And God's like, well, what situation do you need joy in? I mean, he knows, but he likes to kind of get our brain to working, you know, so that we're on track with what he's given us. He's given us an amazing brain, and we only use a fraction of it. And he wants to kind of get us to using more of it. And so I just say, go to him this week and say, how am I doing living in the joy? How am I doing living in the confident assurance of a present and future abiding in you? How am I doing, Lord? How am I doing? And then just read that scripture. And then be quiet and let the Holy Spirit lead you into the joy of the Father through Jesus. And he may do that through circumstances this week. He may do that through the Word. He may do that through a worship song. How many times do you get in your car, and we have our worship music on in our car all the time, in our house? How many times, you know, have you got in your car and you turned something on, you know, and boom, it's just the right, you know? I know that even Alexa can be led of the Holy Spirit. Because I'll walk into the house and I'll say, Alexa, play worship music. And man, the first song out, it's like, whoa. Like, thanks God, you even control the IT of the world, you know? God will speak to you. God will show you an area that He wants you to step into, an area that He wants you to experience more of His joy in. So I encourage you this week. Encourage you. Look at how to abide and then ask God how to abide more. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You're there. You're here. You're always here. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You're here. And Holy Spirit, we thank You that You are here, that You reside in us, that You live in us. You're empowering us. You're giving us all the attributes, all the fruit, all of the strength and power that the Father promised. And we thank You for that. And Lord, I pray this week as we look at Your Word, as we look, Lord, at John 15, I pray that, Lord, Your Scripture would open up to us and we'd see something new, something exciting, something fresh, something that will empower us and, Lord, get us in that place where we have the joy of the Lord in our step, in our voice, and in our actions. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.